Chapter 3. After claiming our prizes from the fifth pillar, the team made the long journey back to the fourth circle. We'd done it so many times by this point that it was practically an autopilot experience, and we arrived back at the Black Brimstone Castle in no time at all. Then we went our separate ways, rested up for the night, and awoke the next morning completely refreshed and ready to take on whatever the day threw at us. It was a big day today, too, the third Friday of the month. That was when Azazel used to hold his deadly jousts, where shades would try and mangle each other for the gruesome entertainment of their masters. Unfortunately, the rules of hell didn't allow us to get rid of the jousts completely, but we made the best of it. Now, instead of a fight-to-the-death tournament, Todd had reformatted these events to be WWE Royal Rumble-style extravaganzas. I'd missed so many of these things thanks to the ongoing war with the Unholy Trio, but on this day, things would be different. Today, I was going to watch Todd's masterpiece unfold. As I sauntered up to the Colosseum with a cup of coffee in hand, I ran into the group of Deja, Cupie, Libidine, Ariel, and Mirage.
Well, good morning, King Ralston.
Mirage perked up when she saw me approaching.
I'm surprised you came out today.
Oh, good morning. I smirked. Just you four?
The others didn't seem interested.
Cupidita shrugged.
Tristitia wanted to sleep. Gula and Superbia had, and I quote, better things to do. Invidia is, well, Invidia, and I couldn't get a hold of the rest of our demon lords. I don't know how they could have better things to do.
Libby huffed and seemed offended.
I've never missed one of Todd's Royal Rumbles. They're such a hoot. That's why I came out here today.
Mirage noted.
I wanted to see what all the hype was about. Me too,
Deja exclaimed.
Besides, I thrive in these big crowd Colosseum-type shows.
Of course you do.
Cupie and I wanted to participate.
Ariel frowned.
But Todd said it was for shades only. Something about how it wouldn't be fair if we fought against them.
Well, he's got a point. I mean, I think you two could single-handedly take out the whole shade population of this circle.
That wouldn't be good enough.
Cupie purred.
Once all the shades had fallen, we'd have to turn on each other to see who was the best. We both know who that be.
Ariel chuckled as she slapped Cupie on the shoulder.
Me?
The Sister of Greed stuck out her tongue. Suddenly, I got flashbacks to the somewhat catty rivalry between Cupie and Delagor. And my heart hammered in my chest excitedly when I thought about how I'd solved that rivalry.
Earth to Jacob!
Deja's high-pitched voice cut through my daydream.
You still with us?
Yeah. I muttered as I rubbed the back of my neck awkwardly. It's still pretty early, that's all.
So, that's morning wood I'm looking at right now?
Cupiditas giggled as she motioned down to my semi-erect dick. My face flushed a bit, but then I figured I should just own up to it. So I placed my hands on my hips and thrust my hips forward proudly. Damn right it is, I announced. Well, maybe one of you girls can deal with it when the show's over.
Or maybe all of us.
Mirage winked, and my semi-erection quickly turned into a full one.
Easy, sister.
Libidine shook her head.
Jacob won't be able to walk once that thing gets to full mast. Just think about baseball.
Ariel giggled. Well, once I'm in there, watching sweaty, shirtless dudes fake beating the crap out of each other, I think I'll be just fine. I reassured her. The six of us walked into the Colosseum, where we were promptly met by the Shade General, Daniel.
Good morning, King Ralston,
he smiled.
And good morning, Demon Lords. You may all follow me to the luxury suite.
This thing has a luxury suite?
Don't you remember?
Libby shot back.
That's where Azazel sat when he watched us fight against Malphus. It was pretty nice, from what I remember, even though I only got to see it in short spurts when we weren't trying to get hit by the demon's attacks.
This joust will be a very special event, my king,
Daniel explained as he led us down the corridor.
We have a guest referee.
We continued to follow the shade until we arrived at a staircase guarded by two men who were clad in the makeshift armor that characterized my soldiers. They gave us a hearty nod of recognition as we passed by, and then started up the stone stairs, and before long, we arrived in the luxury suite. It didn't look much different than when Azazel had sat here. It was still designed to look like a cross between a theater balcony and a Roman emperor's podium, and it still had an oversized seat carved out of black brimstone, smack dab in the middle. The only new additions were the dozen smaller chairs right next to the main chair. I'm assuming that's where I'm supposed to sit. I motioned to the large chair. Daniel waved his hands and then patted the stony seat as if he were beckoning me to take my rightful place on the faux throne. Not wanting to be a spoil sport, I obliged. The chair was just about as comfortable as I'd expected a chair made out of sulfur-infused brimstone to feel, but that didn't matter. It was the sight lines that counted, and this one had a fucking amazing one. The entire Colosseum stretched out before me, and I could see thousands of shades packed into the levels and levels of bleachers in a sea of excited spectators. Down at the center of the sandy circle sat a regulation-sized wrestling ring, surrounded by announcer tables and hardcore fans who bore tacky handwritten signs.
"Ooh, I feel like a princess,"
Libidine joked as she sat down in the chair to my left.
You mean a queen?
Deja corrected as she plopped down to my right.
If you're the royal concubine, you'd be closer to a queen.
Please. I rolled my eyes. None of you are concubines. That title went away when I freed you from your shitty former masters. The rest of the girls sat down around us, and then Daniel took his seat at the far end of the balcony. Just then, a tiny figure sauntered out into the center of the ring while holding a microphone. He was about 3 feet tall, with red skin, stubby horns, cloven feet, and a referee shirt that looked like it was made out of duct tape. It was Todd.
"Good morning, ladies and gentlemen,"
the imp announced in a deep southern drawl.
"I got one question, and one question only. Who's ready to rumble?"
The crowd erupted into cheers, and the imp began prancing around the stage and waving his arms up and down to hype up his audience. Finally, he made a stop motion with his right arm, and the entire Colosseum went silent. "How have I missed these? This is amazing!"
"Today, we're gonna answer a question that's as old as time itself," Todd continued. "For there can be only one, the very best like no one ever was, the best around that nothing's ever gonna keep down. Yes, lads and lasses, today we're gonna find out who will be the King of the Ring."
The crowd roared as they jumped to their feet.
"He's really good at this,"
Cupie noted. "Yeah, that's what years of watching pro wrestling religiously does to a guy," I noted.
"And now, let's meet our participants,"
the imp boomed.
"Hailing all the way from the Screaming Plains, it's Nightshade!"
The imp pulled the microphone in close and attempted to make walkout music with his mouth. As he did so, the shade wrestler known as Nightshade entered the Colosseum, waved to the crowd, and strutted out onto the stage. Todd repeated similar speeches with the other wrestlers, all of whom had a name that was a pun involving the word shade. When all was said and done, there were 20 contestants in the center of the ring, and each one was raring to go. Finally, Todd surrounded himself in black hellfire, floated up into the sky, and then launched a red fireball at the bell on the announcer's table. The projectile struck the bell, and the wrestlers sprang into action. The succubi and I watched in amusement as the shades began to fight each other, using the most over-choreographed punches and kicks I'd ever seen. Not long after the fight began, the first contestant was tossed from the ring and kicked out of the match. One by one, the contestants threw each other over the ropes until there were only two wrestlers remaining, Shady Sean and Shadeless. The two men grappled with each other for a bit before they began wailing with their fists. Finally, when it looked like Shadeless was going to toss Shady Sean out of the ring, Todd intervened. The imp ref swooped down, clotheslined Shadeless, and then gave him the double middle finger as the crowd booed.
Ha ha! That's right, bitch!
Todd cackled.
Oh, I'm on Team Shady. Just call me Slim.
Oh, yeah? Shadeless said in a monotone voice.
Well, I've got the whole Less Best here to back me up.
As the words left his mouth, a crew of similarly dressed wrestlers stomped out of the nearby tunnel, marched up to the stage, and climbed into the ring. As they did so, Todd's eyes looked like they were about to bug out of his head, and the imp looked around frantically.
Oh, damn, he really does know how to put on a wrestling match. He's even got it all the way down to the awful acting.
When I turned to speak to Deja, I noticed her eyes weren't on the ring whatsoever. Instead, she was staring longingly at my face with her lips stretched up into an oversized grin. When our eyes finally locked, the tan succubus gasped and looked away.
Sorry. I know I should totally be watching the show.
It's all right. I reassured her with a whisper. I like the attention.
I just can't stop thinking about what I saw earlier.
She purred into my ear, and then the succubus's slender hand rested on my knee.
Especially what you said about fixing it?
Slowly and inconspicuously, Deja ran her fingers up my leg until she reached my crotch. The second her delicate hand touched my manhood, it sprang to attention, and she then quickly took it in her hand.
There's a lot of people around,
I whispered to the valley girl.
I don't think they all want to get a show.
Then meet me downstairs in the locker room. I'll go first, and then you can come down in five.
My heart was beating rapidly in my chest as I watched Deja stand up and begin to head toward the stairs.
Where are you going, sister?
Libidine questioned.
Oh, I just wanted to stretch my legs.
Deja lied.
Maybe go grab some Twizzlers and a soda or something while I'm out and about.
Deja then turned around and nearly sprinted down the staircase. I sat there for another few minutes and pretended to watch Todd and Shady Sean fight the new evil wrestling super team. However, my mind was anywhere but here. It was in the locker room with Deja, where I was sure she was already preparing for whatever fun times she had in store for me. Finally, when I thought enough time had passed, I stood up and stretched.
I'm gonna go hit the restroom,
I announced.
There's a chamber pot right up here, King Ralston.
Daniel protested, but I just stuck out my hands and shook my head.
I appreciate it, Daniel, but this is kind of one that requires running water, if you get my drift. Say no more.
The shade grimaced as he held up his hand.
Say hi to Deja for us.
I heard Libidine whisper as I left, but I wasn't even going to acknowledge her comment with a response. I'd done this sort of thing with each of my succubi before, where I'd tell everyone I was leaving and then sneak away to share in our passion. Most of them probably knew exactly what I was going to do, but I found it best to at least keep up the charade, at least for Daniel's sake. I descended the staircase, past the two guard shades, and then wandered down one of the back corridors of the Colosseum. I'd never been to the locker room of this one in particular, but I knew they were usually nestled all the way in the back through a series of winding hallways. You didn't want your audience to see your performers before they were ready, after all. I made my way through the stretches of dark brimstone hallways until I finally came to a large wooden door with a sign that identified its purpose.
For Royal Rumble participants only. All violators will be locked in a room for 3 hours and forced to listen to John Cena's theme song on repeat.
Definitely Todd's doing. As I pushed the door of the locker room open, I caught the sweet smell of lilacs delivered through a warm, moist steam. Off in the distance, I heard the distinct sound of the locker room shower, and my anticipation began to rise.
I followed the lovely scent and sound through the large space, past the wall-mounted armory and stone lockers and the individual stalls. Then, when I turned around the corner of the shower entryway, I nearly fell back onto my ass. There, underneath the waterfall, was Deja. She was completely naked as she ran her fingers through her slick brown locks and arched her back so her small, perky breasts looked 3 times bigger than they normally were. The water ran down her pert chest and toned stomach, and the liquid made her skin glisten like the hood of a freshly painted sports car. And, much like those cars, I wanted nothing more than to take her for a ride. As I stepped forward, the succubus held out her hand.
No clothes in the shower? Haven't you ever been to a gym before?
I can honestly say I haven't, I admitted through what I was sure was a goofy grin. I wasn't exactly the type of guy who played sports in high school, and before all this demonic stuff, I couldn't afford a gym membership even if I tried. This is all foreign territory to me.
Oh, is it now? Then I guess I'll just have to give you something you're a bit more familiar with.
The brunette turned her body toward me and then began to run her hands up and down her thin, toned figure. My eyes followed her motions, from the large erect nipples on her chest to her hourglass waist all the way down to her tight-shaved mound. Once she was done, Deja raised her finger and waggled it for me to follow. Well, I didn't have to be asked twice. My dick was already at full mast in my pants as it screamed to be released, and I quickly obliged. I yanked off my belt, pulled my pants down to my ankles, and then kicked them out into the locker room. My shirt came off next, followed by my heavy leather boots. All the while, Deja stared at me with hunger in her eyes. There, I announced as I tossed my arm to the side and let her take in my body. May I come in now?
Oh, you'll be coming in, all right.
The tan succubus insisted as she made her way over to me. Before I could spout off another word, Deja's naked body was pressed against mine, and her hand was wrapped firmly around my erection. Then the succubus used her already wet hand to stroke me gently, as she sucked tenderly on my neck and let out a few soft moans. At the same time, I allowed my hands to explore her perfect body. I slapped her firm ass with my hand and then gave it a tight squeeze as it jiggled in my grasp. Deja let out a gasp of surprise, followed by a primal growl of determination. Her hand began to tug furiously at my manhood, and I felt myself get even harder. The beautiful wet brunette looked up at me with her purple eyes, grabbed a handful of my hair, and then pushed her lips against mine. I let out a dull groan of satisfaction as our tongues explored each other's mouths, and she pleasured me with her short, hard strokes. Each of her motions drew me closer and closer to the edge, and I was in shock. I hadn't had any sort of stimulation like this since, well, ever. She may have only been using her hand, but it was sending sensations through my body as if she were riding me raw. Deja moved forward, and the next thing I knew, I had my back pressed against the cold stone of the shower wall. She continued to stroke me intensely as we made out, and I ran my hands all along her tender body. Then, Deja's second hand went down to rub my balls, and they tightened instantly.
Oh, you like that?
Deja asked as she pulled away. Before I could answer, the succubus increased her tempo with both her hands and smiled at me devilishly. My entire body began to quiver with pleasure, and I had to lean back harder against the wall to keep myself from falling. Slowly, I tensed up, along with the tight coil in my abdomen, and then I felt myself reaching the mountaintop. I think I'm about to... I began, but it was too late. Deja watched excitedly as I unloaded a geyser of my seed onto the floor of the shower with the force of a fire hose. The succubus bit her lip as she continued to stroke it out, and she only stopped when she saw every last drop was gone. I would have figured you'd want that somewhere else, I panted.
Oh, I do.
Deja grinned, and then she wiggled down onto her knees.
I also know there's a lot more where that came from.
She was right. Now that I saw the sexy tan brunette down on her knees, practically worshipping my cock, the blood began to rush back into my nether regions. Much to Deja's delight, I was back to full mast in seconds, and she didn't say a word as her tongue stuck out of her mouth and slowly ran up the side of my erection. I moaned deeply as she licked me, and my knees began to weaken once more. The succubus ran her wet tongue up and down each side of my cock, around each side of my balls, and then all the way back up to the tip. After about 3 or 4 of these motions, she placed one of her hands against my ass, put the head of my dick to her lips, and then pushed herself down on me, as deep in her throat as she could go. Deja's eyes stayed fixed on mine the entire time she pleasured me, but she couldn't resist reaching up and rubbing my abs as she moved. I ran my hands tenderly through her chocolate locks as she bobbed and let out a few muffled moans, but I wasn't about to let her have all the fun. I took a handful of her hair, pulled back, and then began to thrust into her mouth rhythmically. We both moaned intensely as my cock hit the back of her throat, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to keep this up much longer. I thrust it into her mouth a dozen more times before a knee-buckling sensation overcame my body, and I gripped the back of her head like she was a life preserver on a crashing plane. She let out a gasp as my seed filled her mouth, and then her eyes rolled back in her head as she took it all in. Finally, once I was drained, I let her go, and she slid off my erection.
Mmm, yummy.
She smiled as she licked her lips and stared at my cock.
But what exactly was in it for me?
Excuse me? I think you were enjoying that just as much as I was.
You get off twice and I don't get off at all?
She giggled as she stood back up.
I'm not sure that's a fair deal.
Well, luckily for you, I'm not done. I grinned and took a step toward her. I wrapped my hands around Deja's tight ass, lifted her up into the air, and moved us so we were back under the water. Then I summoned a barrier of purple flames about at my hip level, sat her down, and moved my returning erection toward the lovely slit between her legs.
How are you so... still so hard?
She moaned as my cock entered her. Deja bit her bottom lip as she tried to keep her composure, but it was no use. The second my dick bottomed out inside of her, the tan succubus became jelly in my arms. You like that? I pumped myself in and out of her warm, wet tunnel as a symphony of pleasure rang out from her mouth. I watched as her pert, water-covered breasts bounced in unison with my motions, and then I bent down and made sure to suck on each nipple one by one. They both got harder in response, which only made me tweak them gently with my teeth.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The succubus's moan started to become more of a series of whimpers, and I knew she was on the verge of ecstasy. So I picked her up off the platform, held her as tightly against my body as I could, and thrust it into her pussy sensually as the water rained down on us. Within minutes, her fingernails made a death grip against my back, and she pulled her head back as her whole body tensed up.
Jacob! Oh!
Deja's orgasmic moan echoed off the walls of the shower, and for a second, I wondered if the entire Colosseum could hear us. When I felt the sensation of her lips quivering around my cock, though, I suddenly didn't care. I just pulled Deja all the way down onto me and then unleashed my warm seed inside of her. Her purple eyes stared at me intensely as I filled her up, and then she collapsed against my shoulder.
That was incredible. You were incredible.
You weren't too bad yourself. I shot back as I gave her a peck on the shoulder. Seriously. I'm not sure if I'll even be able to walk out of here under my own power.
I highly doubt that.
The succubus scoffed as I set her back on the ground.
You seemed pretty damn strong at the end there.
Are there any towels around here? I chuckled as I headed for the exit.
Jacob.
Deja grinned as she raised an eyebrow.
Remember where you are right now?
Oh, right. I snickered, and then I summoned red hellfire into my hand. I moved the glowing, intense flame slowly around my body, and the liquid evaporated off in no time whatsoever. Finally, once I was good and dry, I yanked my pants back up onto my waist, tossed on my shirt, and then slid my feet back into my boots.
Leaving so soon?
Deja purred as she turned off the water and called her own hellfire into her hands. I told everybody I was going to the bathroom. They're going to think I'm getting sick or something with how long I've been gone.
No, they won't.
Deja winked as she dried off her body.
You've only been gone for 5 minutes.
5 minutes? I certainly lasted longer than 5 minutes, thank you very much.
No.
The tan succubus chuckled.
I'm using my time manipulation powers right now. Even though we've been at it for almost like an hour, anyone outside this bubble of the shower will think it was 5 minutes.
You get more and more impressive by the minute, Deja. I grinned. The succubus finished drying herself off before she strutted out of the shower, walked over to a nearby bench, and bent over to pick up her clothes. Her tan-lined ass jutted up into the air for a second, and I briefly considered going in for round four. But we were out of the time bubble now, and we needed to get back to the Colosseum. Deja got dressed in a hurry, and then we walked arm in arm out of the locker room. We followed the winding corridors back to the hidden staircase, greeted the guards as we passed by, and then returned to our seats. Did we miss anything important? I asked as we entered the balcony.
Quite a lot, actually.
Cupie admitted.
Todd and Shady Sean looked like they were about to win, but then another wrestler rappelled down from the ceiling and knocked all of them out of the ring.
All in the 5 minutes I was gone?
It happened very quickly. But I figured you two were both doing much better things.
Deja and I looked at each other coyly, and then we returned to our seats. As I sat down, I saw Todd in the center of the ring. His referee shirt was drenched in fake blood, and his body was covered with black hellfire as he floated in midair. He had the newcomer's hand raised high in victory, and the title belt was slung over his shoulder. All of us in the balcony stood up and gave the victor a standing ovation while he pranced around the ring and beat his chest. Best upgrade ever, I laughed. Oh, this is 10 times more fun than watching Malphus kill those poor shades. We continued to clap as the winner continued to showboat until a finger suddenly tapped gently against my shoulder. Then I turned around to see one of the guards from downstairs with a concerned look on his face. King Ralston, he explained. I have an urgent message for you. Can't it wait until after the show's over? I asked, curiously, but he responded with a deep frown. It's from your acquaintance on Earthrealm, he explained. Oliver, I believe. He wanted me to tell you to visit him immediately, because things are, and I quote, getting quite strange Earthside. I gave the shade a somber nod, and then I briefly turned back to the show. I had no idea what Oliver wanted, but if he was calling me on such short notice, it couldn't be good. Looks like my vacation was ending sooner than I had hoped.